Hello, everybody. It's Mort from Ireland. Well, I was making a video the other day for the 80th anniversary of Hitler's suicide, talking about how demonic he was, which is undoubtedly true. And I didn't get onto the main thing about how the official version of a suicide is definitely a lie. Now, we know he's dead because he was born in 1889. He'd be 136 if he were still alive, and no one's ever lived to anywhere close to that age. He had Parkinson's when he presumably died in 1945 at the age of 56. At the Potsdam Conference in July 1945, 2 months after the surrender of Germany, there was much discussion between the big three about what happened to Adolf Hitler. What's that sound? I don't know the sound you're talking about. White socks. President Harry S. Truman was there. Churchill was there. Had to fly back to for the United Kingdom for an election, which he lost. Clement Attlee, his Labour replacement, came out. Stalin was through there. They asked Stalin what happened because Berlin was surrounded by the Soviet zone. Remember, the four Allied powers broke Germany up into occupation zones, the fourth being France, where the French were invited to the Potsdam Conference. Potsdam was in the Soviet zone of Germany. And Berlin, inside the Soviet zone, subdivided into a Soviet sector in the east, French, British, and American sectors in the west. But Hitler's actual bunker was a Soviet zone. They mainly investigated it, and they arrested his valet, secretaries, brought him to Moscow, interrogated them. They were released after a few years. The British, Americans, French, they all wandered about. Nobody else was supposed to be allowed to go to Hitler's bunker, but for a small bribe, just a few cigarettes, smoking was then almost universal among soldiers. Some Western soldiers were allowed to enter the Fuhrer bunker. So the NKVD, that's Narodnaya Komissariat Vnutrich Dil, the People's Commissariat of Internal Affairs, that was the secret police the Soviets used to terrorize their own people. They investigated SMERSH, special organization meaning death to spies. They investigated and they extensively interrogated people there. The British also investigated Hugh Trevor Roper, was a professor of history at Oxford University, then a British Army officer. He investigated for the basis of his celebrated 1946 book, The Last Days of Hitler. Now, Trevor Roper concluded that the witnesses, the people who'd been with Hitler for the last, say, fortnight in the bunker, were telling the truth. And that was because of the small discrepancies in their stories. That overall, they're singing from the same hymn sheet, but someone said, he killed himself this time. Someone said, no, it was 10 minutes earlier or whatever. Someone said his last meal was this. Someone said it was slightly different. And he said that's actually more credible because, memory is very fallible. And, of course, memory is somewhat reconstructed. You get this one confused with that one. You blur two things together. You split two things apart. You misremember the sequence of the numbers. Whereas, had they been briefed and repeated to chant word perfect version, that would be more suspicious. Overall, the stories from the witnesses emerged that on the 30th of April, he committed suicide by shooting himself in the head. But the surprising thing is the corpse we're told was his is in the left side. Now, he was right-handed. The other thing is his Parkinson's really affected his left hand. You can see this in the last video of him, his involuntary shaking of the left hand. So very unlikely he would do this. And then supposedly bit down on a cyanide ampoule at the same time. The corpse presented, well, had ordered someone to then douse his corpse when he was dead in a bit of fuel and set it alight. He'd heard about Mussolini being executed 2 days earlier and his body being displayed, suspended from the heels in a Milan petrol station in derision. He didn't want his corpse to be so dishonored, and that his wife, Eva Braun, she would commit suicide likewise. Anyway, so the Soviets were scrambling around. They found a male corpse burned beyond recognition. Was this him? Was it not? And that they really couldn't decide. There was another investigation a year later in 1946, by which time items had been looted from the bunker, potentially very valuable evidence had gone missing. They hadn't kept the pumps going because of Berlin's high water table. Water had leaked into the bunker, meaning mold was growing on the walls. That could damage or destroy potentially vital evidence, which could have solved this. So the NKVD felt they had to hand Stalin a solution. They wanted to solve the mystery. So as they, in their own words, miraculously, well, that's not going to happen. The pit where Hitler's body had been burned, they found a fragment of skull that no one had found for a year. Despite two Soviet investigations, French, British, Canadian, American troops rooting around in there, How have they missed that one? Some missing skull fragment, but you know, it doesn't match up with the story, because it turns out the skull is too thin. It's a woman's skull, they can tell from that. It's a skull of someone below 40 years of age, they can tell. And yeah, so it's also a woman's skull when they actually did the DNA analysis in the 1990s. So the Soviets then just found a skull to pretend it was Hitler's with some sort of hole in it, not necessarily a bullet hole. They may have drilled the hole in it post-mortem to make that seem credible. Yeah, and then the Eva Braun, something similar. There was also some Hitler's dental bridges in a skull, but loosely there, not actually fitted, because how would you identify him? You can't identify the corpse by face, by fingerprint. They don't have his fingerprints. DNA wasn't even known. How else you'd identify it? Okay, by dentistry. So it was possibly that dental bridge. Did they find the dental bridge and put it in there, or did one of the Germans do that because they wanted to hide the location of Hitler's real corpse? You know, they were loyal even after he died. But these people were interrogated for months by the NKVD. The NKVD had a ferocious and well-deserved reputation for the most horrific tortures. No one would have the courage to stand up to such threats. Having said that, to my knowledge, they weren't actually tortured. Why would you fear Hitler at this point, who's dead and can't reward you? I think self-preservation would be a priority. But there maybe were some fanatical Nazis who would keep lying to the NKVD for months. So did some Germans put these dental bridges in there so that the Soviets would misidentify another corpse and think it was Adolf Hitler? Or was that to cover up Hitler's escape? There were stories circulating he'd somehow got to Argentina, but there's no evidence that's true at all. He'd got to a U-boat and tried to sail towards Thule, the mythical land in the Arctic Circle. But these are ridiculous rumors. There's no explanation how did he get out of an encircled Berlin. And which U-boat did he go from, and when, and where, and all that kind of stuff. So that is just plain daft. So he may well have committed suicide, but that's not his corpse. I mean, that's the one thing we can say with certainty. Where is his corpse? I don't know, because obviously this is a city in which thousands of people were killed every single day in the last days of April 1945. Just another anonymous corpse mulched into the soil. Would they have destroyed it with quicklime? With so long as the corpse is dry, will completely dissolve the corpse into unidentifiable mush within a matter of hours, and so on. And likewise, Eva Braun's skull, the blood stains on the sofa in his room where he supposedly shot himself. They've tested those as male blood. Whether it's Hitler's blood, they don't know. But now we've got DNA. Remember, Hitler had a half sister, half brother who survived the war. His brother ran a cafe in Berlin for years afterwards. He also had his nephew, William Patrick Hitler, who moved to the United States, indeed joined the US Navy. And he lived on to the 1970s. He married, he had three sons. Could they have been tracked down and done some DNA comparison in the 90s to prove one way or the other? I mean, the female skull, which was pretended to be Hitler's skull, was clearly not. They wanted to satisfy Stalin that their enemy was dead and they could close the case. Mission accomplished. So they had decided to fabricate the evidence rather than to disappoint him. It's less satisfactory to say, we just don't know. So did he commit suicide? I mean, I think it highly probable. Did he survive the war? There's really no evidence that he did. But you know, it's not like now everyone accepts the official version. I mean, did he commit suicide? Probably. Is that his corpse? Definitely not. The other corpse, Eva Braun's corpse? No. Another point, the dental bridge in the corpse, which we're told is Eva Braun, well, the dentist said, yeah, he made the dental bridge, but never ever inserted it. Now, why would he lie? Why would he stand up to the terrors of the NKVD? If he wants them to believe this corpse is not Eva Braun, when it actually is, so that they wouldn't do something to it. What are your other options? That Eva Braun died either through suicide or just through being shot. I mean, bullets, bombs, shells flying everywhere, and her corpse was elsewhere. I don't think he had an incentive to lie. He said that that was never inserted. So the dental bridge and the corpse, which we know now wasn't Hitler's, was then there, sort of put there very loosely, possibly post-mortem. The cyanide ampule crushed in the mouth. Okay, but the post-mortem shows that actually didn't kill him, didn't get to the organ. So presumably that person died from gunshot, you know, not that. So it's all very unsatisfactory. We may never get to the bottom of it. So I always feel ne it's necessary to make this disclaimer in these videos. Just because I'm making a video about him, I've got absolutely no sympathy with that vile ideology of National Socialism. Okay, I'm against socialism. I'm against racism. I'm against totalitarianism. I'm against wars of aggression, and really just about everything Hitler stood for. I'm against anti-monarchism. So this is not some sort of sympathy for him? Definitely not. Okay, I study him in the same way that a doctor might study a disease to know how to counter these truly wicked ideologies. Right, thanks for watching my video, and make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate to PayPal, georgecallahan79@gmail.com. Toodaloo.